वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So, good evening to all of you. I would like to welcome all of you to the fourth session of ours in the journey of self-discovery. In the last three sessions, we discussed about the importance of the human form of life. We also discussed about the need for scriptures. Shabda Praman, if you really want to access a better understanding of the source of creation, of this creation itself, and also about ourselves. And on the third day we discuss about who am I, the science of the soul, how we are not a material body, which is temporary frame, but rather we are the spirit soul, Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But ultimately, we have to go to the root of the problem. And that is, if you want to solve the problems of life, we have to catch hold of the person, if there is any, who is responsible for creation of this world. And therefore, the next question is Brahma Jigyasa. Is there a source of everything that exists? Is there a supreme controller, proprietor, and enjoyer who created everything? Who is that? What is it? And we concluded last time by this question, several times, especially in India. This question is asked. Why so many gods? Is there one god or are there many gods? In fact, there is a multitude of gods in our culture and tradition of the followers of the Vedas. And many times people make fun, like we discussed last time. I told you about the joke, jumping from the third, multi-storied building and somebody asking, we have only one God, but you have so many, you keep naming. Or sometimes, as our gentleman said, that gino aur jab ginti khatam ho jayegi tab aana. Or I told you about that lady whose daughter sincerely asked, Mom, Why can't you be chaste to one God? She said, they're all one. But that was a little difficult for her to digest. And so therefore, this question is something I request you to kindly be a little attentive. It's like a heart surgery. And today, tomorrow's attendance will tell how many were successful and not. This is actually a burning question that when I address this, I tell one story. One time, there was a taxi driver. And a person came and sat in his taxi. And this taxi driver was driving. Surprisingly, for 2 hours, he was just driving straight, neither looking left, right, just straight driving like that. And the man behind was thinking, what is this? This person even doesn't speak a word, doesn't look here and there. And after 2 hours of seeing, he just moved his hand and touched his shoulder. Ah! This person shouted, and suddenly the taxi wavered here, there, everywhere, about to fall off, go off the road. And he started breathing. You know, the person behind was shocked. He said, I just touched him and what's wrong? He was just thinking. And then somehow he come up, managed to, you know, bring the car under control. And this person said, I hope I didn't do something that was weird. And this person said, why did you respond like this? He kind of, he relaxed and then he answered. He said, for last 20 years, I have been driving a van that carries dead bodies. Every night, I would take the dead body from the mortuary, put it inside and drive. And I'm so much used, I forgot today I'm driving a taxi for the first time. And therefore, when somebody touched me, I thought the dead body is touching me. And therefore this kind of a shock that I got. The reason why I am telling you this story. You may have heard so many things so far. And suddenly what I am going to tell may be like a touch on the shoulder. And there may be a kind of little upset in the heart. So if you are already tighten your seat belts, we're going to fly. So, we'll take up this particular question. Now, according to the Vedic, from now onwards, whatever I'm going to speak, mind you, is not my opinion. It is all from the Vedic literature, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing else. I am no more going to speak anything about my own concoction, or my own views and my own opinion, or anyone else's opinion. And therefore, for everything I have given a reference for you to refer. Just to inform you, just to impress upon you, whatever I am going to speak is not a view of a particular organization. It's not just the color of the cloth or the organization that I belong to. But this is the conclusion of the scriptures. But because the scripture has not been properly, systematically, logically, scientifically presented, that there are some kind of confusion that prevails amongst different people about this particular question. According to the Vedic scriptures, very clearly they proclaim monotheism and not polytheism. Mono means one, theism means belief in God. So the Vedic scriptures are monotheistic. They believe in only one God. Eko Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. There's only one God. There is no second one. So, the Kathopanishad, that's the reference I am giving. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhate kaman. There are so many eternal, all the living entities are eternal, but there is a permanent, supremely eternal, nityo nityanam. Of plural living entities, there is one nitya. And all of us living entities are conscious living entities, but he is supremely conscious. Chetanas chetananam and bahunam. Of the billions and billions and innumerable numbers of living entities, ekah vidadhati kaman. There's only one supreme God who fulfills the desires of everyone and everything. This is very clear in the Vedic literature. There are three aspects of God. And if we understand these three aspects, then we can better appreciate how there is only one God. So these are the three aspects of God. The first aspect is the Brahman aspect. The second is the Paramatma aspect. And the third is the Bhagavan aspect. So, what is this first one, the Brahman? The Brahman means all pervading. Sarvam khalvidam Brahma. The whole universe is pervaded by the energy of the Supreme Lord, just as the sun is situated in one spot, but through the rays of the sun, through its heat and energy, the whole universe is pervaded. That is the Brahman aspect, the all-pervading aspect. That is why Bhagavad Gita says, Yo mam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam chamai pashyati, tasyaham na pranashyami, sachabena pranashyati. One who sees me everywhere, in everything, and sees everything situated in me, he is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. Therefore, when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where is your God? Hiranyakashipu, the greatest atheistic personality, he asked, where is your God? And Prahlad replied, where is he not? Where is he not? There is no andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. There is no place that my Lord doesn't exist through his all-pervading energy. He exists in every element of creation. Then there is the second aspect, the Paramatma aspect. We discussed last time, when we discussed the soul, in every body there are two living entities, the Jivatma and the Paramatma. Jivatma resides in every living entity. The Jivatma residing in individual living entity is different from another. But the Paramatma resides in the heart of every living entity. In the 15th chapter, 15th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. It is said, I reside within the heart of every living entity. From me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Who teaches the child, newborn child, how to suck the milk from the nipples of the mother's breast? Who teaches the birds how at a particular time just learns to fly? Where does the knowledge is there? Where is the repository of all that knowledge? Elsewhere in the Gita it says, Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, Paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusham param. There is another purusha, the owner of the body. We are tenants. We are tenants in the body for about 100 years if you are fortunate. We are only tenants. We have to leave and then go away. But the Lord is the real owner of this body. He is the owner. Upadrishta, he is the overseer. Anumanta, the sanctioner, permitter. Bharata, maintainer. Bhokta, the ultimate enjoyer. And Maheshwara, the supreme controller of the body. We can't have a good thought, we can't speak one word, unless he sanctions it. So there are two aspects of Paramatma also. One is the Samashti Prakash, the whole universe, Vishwarupa. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna showed the whole universal form. And within that, Arjuna saw everything that exists. Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastham. From the topmost Brahma Loka down to the Patala Loka, every living entity, every personality there was visible within the personality of the Lord. And then there is the Vyashti Prakash, the Lord in the heart, the Param Atma situated within the heart, core of our heart, who gives intelligence, who gives the forgetfulness. Even forgetfulness is a blessing. Imagine, if you didn't forget who you are in your previous life, you'll go crazy. You'll have identity crisis. You'll have a schizophrenic personality. What to speak of if you remember all your previous lives? So even forgetfulness is actually a benediction. And the third aspect of God is Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. It's very interesting. When in the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya speaks, Sanjaya Uvacha. When Dhritarashtra speaks, Dhritarashtra Uvacha. Uvacha means spoke. When Arjuna speaks, Arjuna Uvacha. But when Krishna speaks, what is the word used? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Just to emphasize, why the Bhagavad Gita is so important. So many people may have sung so many Gita. But why Bhagavad Gita is considered for the Vedic followers one of the most essential of the scriptures? Because it is personally spoken by Bhagavan himself. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. What does that word Bhagavan means? Bhaga means opulence, Aishwarya. And Vaan means one who possesses. Just like we say Vidwan, one who possesses knowledge. Balavan, one who possesses a lot of strength. Similarly, Vaan, so Bhagavan means one who possesses all the opulences. There are six main opulences. And anyone who has even one of these six becomes very attractive to the whole world. What are the six opulences? First, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriyaha Jnana Vairagya Yoshchaiva Sharnam Bhaga Itingana. It is described in the scriptures that there are six opulences. And anyone, any one of us, if we have even one of it, to a tiny degree, we become very attractive to everyone. What is the first thing? Aishwaryasya, wealth. Now, somebody is extremely wealthy, he becomes very attractive. You know, there are some wealthiest people in India. Everyone knows their name. Everyone wants to be connected somehow or another. Aishwaryasya. Samagras means fullest. Now somebody can say that I own 100 or 1,000 factories practically in all the parts of India or even some part of the world. Multinational companies, owners may be there. But who can say I own the whole planet? Can anyone say I own the whole creation? God by definition, Bhagavan, because everything is owned by him. So Aishwaryasya. Then Viryasya, strength. Somebody can be extremely strong. But how long does the strength last? The greatest boxer once upon a time, Cassius Clay, who later became Muhammad Ali. Catch me if you can. There was a song made. Stings like a butterfly. No, splits like a butterfly and stings like a bee. He was a world champion, number one boxer. But later he developed Parkinson's disease. He just couldn't even walk. If he walks, he couldn't stop. And during one of the Olympics, when he was given the torch to actually burn, light up the Olympic torch, he just couldn't even carry it. Somebody has to assist him. Where is that strength gone? But Bhagavan means he possesses unlimited strength. Unlimited strength. In fact, the strength of all living entities comes from him alone. Mama tejaha amsha sambhavam. It's a tiny insignificant spark of splendor of Bhagavan that we possess some strength. Or any living entity possesses some strength. Viryasya. Yashaha. Yasha means fame. Now somebody may be famous all over India. Some people may be famous all over the world. But only among particular circle. Scientists may be very famous among some particular circle of scientists. Businessmen may be famous among business circle. Not everyone may know. Some people may be known practically, but some illiterate people may not know. But God is all famous, even amongst the atheists. Their whole life is dedicated to disproving him. So God is famous amongst the theists and the atheists also. He is supremely famous. Cross-culturally, go any part of the world, they may not exactly know who is who, but they believe that upar wala hai. Kahi to hai, koi to hai. Viryasya, yashah, shriyah. God is extremely beautiful. Extremely beautiful. How beautiful? What is the proof of his beauty? Any person who is once attracted to God cannot be attracted to anything of this world. He cannot trade that beauty with the beauty of anything of this world. This is a proof that God is the supremely attractive. Those great saintly personalities who were attracted to him, they wouldn't trade that beauty with any beauty of this world. That is a proof that God is supremely beautiful. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasha shriya jnana. Knowledge. When the Lord wants to speak, 5,000 years ago, Krishna offhand spoke Bhagavad Gita. It's not that previous night he was standing in front of the mirror and rehearsing. Tomorrow I will say, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. Arjuna was bewildered, his friend was bewildered, and he spoke casually for 1.5 hours. Since last 5,000 years, the greatest philosophers, the greatest thinkers have dwelled deep into the philosophy and yet to understand the wisdom contained in these 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest politicians, greatest thinkers of their times have all thought about this. It's like a bottomless and shoreless wisdom of knowledge that's contained within these verses. That is a sample of God's greatness of knowledge. Jnana and Vairagya. Greatest in terms of renunciation. If somebody is extremely renounced, he becomes very famous. In fact, Gandhiji was very famous because even though he had an option to become the supreme, occupying the supreme post of becoming a prime minister or president or whatever he wanted, but he wasn't attached to all that and he became therefore very popular. He was renounced to the position. and still had influence. So, but when somebody creates something, there is a tendency to become attached. Oh, this is my child, I have created this. I have created this business, I have created this home. When we create something, we become attached. But God has created this whole creation, but still, as if aloof. He is not aloof. As if he is aloof. He created the Srishti, but he is simultaneously detached. Udasinavat asinam. As if he is totally aloof. He is concerned, but he is aloof. So this is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who possesses all the six opulences. Now some of us may possess beauty. How long will the beauty last? Some may be strong. How long will the strength last? Some may be very wealthy. How long will the wealth last? And even if the wealth lasts for the whole life, how long you will last? You may go away, the wealth will remain. God by definition is that personality who has all the six opulences. Aishwaryasya wealth, Viryasya strength, Shriyaha beauty, Yashaha fame, Jnana knowledge, and Vairagya renunciation. To an unlimited degree, eternally. He possesses them eternally. That is Bhagavan. Next, this question arises. Oh, is God a person? Is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is the Bhagavan? Very difficult to digest. Is God Saguna or Nirguna? Saguna means with form, with qualities. Does God have a name? Does God have a form? Does God have qualities? Does God have some distinctions in activities? So there are two schools of thought in Vedic literature. Some say he is Saguna and some say he is Nirguna. He has no name, he has no form, he has no qualities, he has no activities. And others say he has a name, he has a form, he has qualities, he has activities. How do you reconcile this apparent contradiction? Very simple. God has a name. Like you have a name, I have a name, everyone has a name here. He also has a name. But what is the difference between his name and our name? The difference is, his name is actually a quality of his personality. Whereas our name is simply a designation. Just to separate from other. Imagine if everyone had the same name in our classroom. How will the teacher take attendance? Ramesh, Ramesh, Ramesh. Suresh, Mahesh, Dinesh, there must be different names. Our name is a designation. Aankh ke andhe naam nayan sukh. Hindi there is a saying. Andha aadmi baitha hua hai. Tumhara naam kya hai bhai? Nayan sukh. There is a beggar sitting in the street. Aapka naam? Lakshmipati. Achha. And some people are carrying. Four people are carrying one person. Ram naam satya hai. Achha bhai, kon the ye? Mr. Amar. Not of the Akbar Anthony fame. So, our name is simply a label to designate us from somebody else. But God's name is not like that. Allah means actually all powerful. Buddha means actually all-knowing. Krishna means actually all-attractive. Ram means the reservoir of pleasure. Vishnu means all-pervading. So the names of the Lord are actually labeling, not labeling, it's actually designating the quality of his. And therefore, they are not ordinary names. He has a form. He has a form like you and me. But he is not like you and me. अरे ऐसा कैसा? कोई एक चीज बोलो महाराज, फॉर्म मेरे जैसा है या नहीं? यस, ही हैज अ फॉर्म. अदरवाइज हाउ कुड वी हैव फॉर्म? हाउ कुड द चिल्ड्रन हैव समथिंग दैट द फादर डजंट हैव? इफ ही इज, देयर इज नथिंग दैट गॉड इज नॉट देयर इन हिम. If we his children have a form and he doesn't have a form, what kind of a, we are better than him. But then it says in the scriptures that God has no name, God has no form. Tell me, does God see all the activity that is going on? Yes, he sees. But he doesn't have eyes. Are? Then how can he see? He sees everything. I remember many years ago, I went into one school for destitute children run by a Christian organization. St. Catherine's School of Siena for Destitute Children, Bandra West. I was there, and in that school, in the assembly, during assembly time, a child has to come and speak thought for the day. Little girl, I think third or fourth standard girl came. And on that day, the day I visited, she stood on the platform, took up the microphone and spoke one thought. I will never forget it for my whole life. Such a sweet statement, such a profound statement, such a deep statement. I don't know whether she ever understood it, but I was fascinated by that statement. Thought for the day. One statement, one phrase. And what was that phrase? She just took the microphone and she said, "A black ant on a black rock in a dark night. No one sees, but God sees." That's all. Think about it. A black, small ant. First of all, if it goes in this tile, particular tile, I can't see the ant. What ant? Even if a black spot is there, I can't see. A black ant on a black rock in a dark night. No one sees. Good God sees. If God sees, does he not have eyes? If God sees, does he not have eyes? When we pray, does God hear or not? Is he a deaf God? If we speak, if we pray with devotion from any corner of this creation, he hears. And if he hears our prayers, sincere prayers of a devotee is heard by the Lord, does he not have ears? What nonsense. How can he hear otherwise our prayers? If he has created this most extremely complicated and intricate creation, which is more complicated than any scientist can ever forget about reduplicating, can't even understand how things are happening. Even one little cell is still not understood by the scientists, highly advanced intelligent scientists today. The biggest brains of the world can't understand. So the creator doesn't have a brain? Perfect, intricate creation, perfect order, systems, laws have been made, and behind this law there is no lawmaker, and he doesn't have a brain? Does God love? All the genuine religion of the world agree, God is extremely merciful. In fact, the Christian religion said, he sent his son to die for our sins. In Islam it says Allahu Akbar. In the Vedic religion it is several wonderful shlokas are there. How he is so compassionate, so merciful, so kind. That means he has a heart. How can a person feel unless he has a heart? When something is offered with love and devotion, does he accept it? If he accepts, he must have a hand. When he comes running to the help of a devotee, he must have legs. In fact, Ishopanishad says, tad ejati, tan naijati, tad dure e tadvantike, tadantarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasya syabahyatah. Tad ejati, he runs, tan naijati, but he doesn't move from his place. Tad dure e, farther than the farthest, tadvantike, but nearer than the nearest. Tad antarasya sarvasya, he is situated within the heart of everyone. Tad usarvasya sebayatah, simultaneously beyond this creation, in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. O Maharaj, koi ek chij bolo, andar hai ya bahar hai? Dur hai ya paas hai? Ya aadha idhar bhi, udhar bhi? This is why he is God. He has a form, exactly like you and me. In fact, it is said, man is made in the image of God. But his eyes are not material like you and me. He has spiritual eyes. He can be situated in one place and he can see everything that is going on in the whole creation. He can be any farther than the farthest place in a second, in a moment. He can come to your rescue right at your place. When Draupadi cried out, the Lord was there. So many wonderful instances of Lord's extending himself. He can be anywhere in this creation, but if you offer something with love and devotion, he can extend his hand and accept with very much deep affection. Any devotee from any corner, he doesn't even have to say out the prayer. If he thinks from his heart, the Lord hears that prayer. He has ears, but his ears are not like our ears, limited range. His hands are not limited like us, can't stretch beyond particular distance. His feet is not like ours. Yes, he is saguna. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge yada yada hi dharmasya glani. He comes again and again. He shows himself. Yes, I am there. But fools abhajananti maam moodhaha manushim tanumashritam. Fools deride me when they look at me and think me to be an ordinary person. Sometimes a king may walk into a prison house just to see, are all the prisoners happy? A prisoner may make two mistakes. When the king walks into the prisoner may think, I am also in the prison. King is also, therefore he is also a prisoner like me. Or, the king walks into the prison, a prisoner may think, I am also the king. He is also the king. Similarly, a foolish, ignorant person may misunderstand God to be an ordinary person. When he mercifully descends and walks amongst us as if an ordinary person. But he is not to be considered an ordinary. Yes, he is Saguna. He has a name. He has a form. He has qualities. Therefore we, his children, have qualities. He has activities, therefore we have activities. But the difference is, his activities, his name, his form, his qualities are completely spiritual, eternal. They are not material. They are not made up of material sound vibration. They are completely spiritual. I gave the Two examples. The first example is how to understand Bhagavan, Paramatma and Brahman. Let's take the example of the sun. So there is the sun ray that spreads all over in all the directions. That can be compared to the Brahman aspect of the sunlight. And then there is the sun globe, the localized aspect, the Paramatma. And then there is the sun god, who is the source of all of that. That can be compared to Bhagavan. Or another example can be given. Suppose a child is taken to the railway station. At night, the child is taken to the railway station. And he wants to know what a train is. And then the papa says, wait, just see, the train is going to come now, very soon. Look there. And the whistling sound of the train comes. And then he sees a light. So the first aspect of realization of the train for a child is the whistling sound and there is some light. This is the first understanding. Next, then he says, oh, the train is coming closer. Whistling is there and the light is there. But there is a source of that light. And that is the engine and the bogies. And then as it walks into the platform, he sees that, oh, it's not just the light, the sound and the engine and the bogies. There are people inside. Then he gets a complete understanding of the whole train as such. Similarly, the first understanding of God is the all-pervading aspect, the energy of the Lord, like the sunlight. When the sunlight enters your room, you say, the sun has entered. Sun has not entered. If sun enters, you will not be there. The sunlight has entered. But there is a source of that light. And when you go, then you see the sun disk. And then there is a sun god who resides like that. There are three energies of God. I talked about the three aspects of God. Then there are the three energies of God. One is called the external inferior material energy. That can be divided into 24 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. These are the gross material elements. And then the objects of that senses, etc. Totally 24 elements. This is composed of the external inferior. This is matter. This table is made of matter. The chair is made of matter. The body is made up of matter. It disintegrates and dies. Matter keeps on changing. And then there is the tatastha or marginal energy. And that is the soul, which is part of Krishna. Mamayivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And thirdly, antaranga or internal superior energy. That is called the spiritual energy. And this spiritual energy is very special. Very, very special. One plus one equals one. One minus one equals one. Have you ever heard this mathematics? One plus one equals one. And one minus one equals. This is the spiritual calculation. The Lord, Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnamevavashishate. The Lord is perfect and complete. Even though complete and perfect units are coming out, He still remains the perfect and complete person. Doesn't make sense. It will make sense someday. It requires some amount of purification of the heart. Then we can easily understand this. Achintya Shakti, the inconceivable power of the Lord. How from one seed a whole banyan tree can come? Isn't it amazing? From one seed a whole banyan tree can come, and that banyan tree can give rise to hundreds of fruits, and each of those fruits can contain thousands of seeds, and in each of those seeds there are banyan trees. And in those banyan trees, hundreds of fruits will come. And they will have thousands of seeds. And in all of those seeds, there is a banyan tree. This goes on. Can any scientist ever create something like that? Isn't it amazing? If you think about the inconceivable energy of the Lord, what is impossible for him? Then it becomes very easy. Therefore, those who have faith in the inconceivable, his omnipotency, his omnisciency, and his all-merciful nature, a person cannot but fall in love with him. Now the million-dollar question. If you are all ready, then we'll move ahead. Then why so many gods? If there is only one Supreme Personality of God, if there is only one Bhagavan, why there are so many gods? This is very, very important to understand. The Vedas attribute divinity, sanctity, and connectivity to every aspect and every part of God's creation. I am yet to come across any other religious tradition which teaches its followers to see God's presence in every element of its creation. Practically, I am aware of only in the Vedic literature where this understanding is given, that everything is made sacred because of its connection to God. There is nothing disconnected from God. This concept is there. Earth, Mother Earth, is considered Bhudevi. She is the wife of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu Patni. I remember as a child, we were trained, as soon as we get up from bed, before even keeping our feet on the ground, we beg forgiveness from Mother Earth. Samudra Vasane Devi, Parvatas Nanamandale, Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam, Padas Parsha Kshamaswame. What an understanding. Samudra Vasane Devi, O Bhudevi, who are dressed by beautiful ocean, that is your covering, the sari, Samudra Vasane Devi, Parvatas Tanamandale. The hills are her Stanamandala, the breasts. Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam, Padas Parsha Kshamaswame. Oh dear mother, I'm going to step on you throughout the day. I'm going to pass urine and stool on you, just like a little child passes urine and stool. Mother doesn't take any offense. She's very happy. My child is eating and digesting food nicely. If it doesn't pass, she's in anxiety. Right? If he passes, very nice. That means he's healthy. So this is the understanding. A piece of book is touching. Oh, there is Saraswati Devi. You don't touch with your feet. Anna Brahma. Annad Bhavanti Bhutani. Even a grain of... Why the grain of sand, if you touch with your feet, you're supposed to touch it to your forehead? Why? The concept is, you cannot manufacture it in your factory. It is a mercy of the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Christians pray like that. One grain cannot be created by scientists in the laboratories. It has to come from Mother Earth. She supplies all the food to all the children, irrespective of which race, caste, or color, or creed they belong to. She is the mother. Where is that understanding, that culture, which teaches us to see every energy of God with its source? So it is very, very, it is foolishness and ignorance on the part of people when they don't see. Even a driver, even an illiterate Anguta Chap driver, when he walks into the vehicle, rickshaw driver, he holds the steering wheel and presses it to his feet and then he starts. There is one particular day in a year when people worship all their tools in their workshop, Vishwakarma Puja. There is a particular devata who regulates all of these things. There is a particular devi and devata who is responsible for every, just like so many ministers. Right? Today, India government has 52 ministries and 790 parliament members, including Rajya Sabha, Lok Sabha included. Just to run a tiny piece of land on this planet Earth. Why can't the Supreme Lord have billions of representatives? He doesn't need. He can run the whole show himself. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. But there are so many people who want to serve. Tad Vishnoh Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surayah. The Supreme Lord is looked up to by all the devatas and they are all empowered by the Lord. Yes, take care of this department. So many several departments and each of these devatas are responsible for taking care of those specific aspect of creation, the universal government of the Lord. But if we do not understand properly, we it's like a illiterate person in a village who doesn't know the difference between MP and PM. For him, everything is same. Kya PM bola, MP bola. Nahi nahi nahi, bahut antar. Nahi nahi, sab ek hi hai. A to Z, P or M or aise the ghumaya to kya hua? There's a difference. So in this way, so divinity is added by the word devi, divya. Divya means divine. They are not ordinary personalities. They are empowered by the Lord. Just like somebody occupies a particular position in the government, a whole department, he's extremely powerful at that stage. Whatever he tells happens because he's empowered by the government to take responsibility for a particular affair of the government. Similarly, the devatas, there are many, many devatas who are responsible for certain, and this gives, adds divinity. It is sanctity. It adds sanctity to every aspect. And this, unfortunately, some people think it is very tribal-like kind of thing, aboriginal kind of activity to worship every tree, to worship every stone, to every worship everything. No. Why not? One time, one man was challenging me, you know, about worshipping forms of God in different ways. And I said, all right, take out your purse. He took out the purse. And I said, 500 ka kitna note hai aapke paas, sab de do mere ko. Aur main tere ko newspaper deta hun. I'll give you some newspaper. That is also paper in your purse. And I also have paper. Exchange this paper with this paper. He said, aisa kaisa? Bula, aisa kaisa? Waisa hi. Wo bhi paper hai, ye bhi paper hai. Nahi, par ye alag paper hai na. Kyun? Certified by the government. Main dharak ko 500 rupya dene ka vaada karta hun, ada karta hun. As soon as it is stamped, it is no more an ordinary piece of paper. It becomes a currency note. It's a piece of paper. But if you have a very beloved person's photograph and taken and kept there, it represents something and becomes sacred and sanctified. If I take a picture hanging in your house on the wall and stamp over it, you may feel very extremely upset. Forget about that. Take a national flag and stamp on it. You feel very bad. You feel it is, you're hurting. Why? Because it symbolically represents something. And therefore, disrespecting, that means disrespecting sacred aspect of what it stands for. So now, briefly I'm going to touch upon, it's a very elaborate subject matter, but time being very less and trying to understand, keep to the essence. I'm going to speak to you about the difference between devatas as regards Bhagavan. This word Bhagavan is used. Sometimes Bhagavan is used to refer to many of the powerful devatas. But which means that they stand practically on the same level as the Lord, Supreme Lord, because of the trust and the empowerment given to them. But that Supreme Personality is only one. That's very clear according to the Vedic literature's conclusions. So the devatas can be many. There are many, just like ministers can be many, but prime minister is only one. Like that, the devatas are innumerable, while Bhagavan is only one. Eko brahma dvitiya nasti, eko bahu nam yo vidadhati kama. The devatas are parts and parts, they act as a limb of the Supreme Lord. I'm giving you references because this is just to impress upon you. Everything that I am speaking is as it is, either from the Bhagavad Gita or from the Upanishads or from the Vedanta Sutra or from the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 11th chapter, 15th verse, when Krishna shows to Arjun his Virat Swarup, in the 15th verse, Arjuna is telling what he's seeing from top to bottom. The whole universe, Vishwarupa, is being seen by Arjun. Pashyami devams tava deva dehe. Within your body, O my Lord, I am seeing Vishesha Sanghan. I see innumerable living entities in all the different species of life I am seeing. From where? Brahmanamisham kamalasanastham. Urugans Chadivyan, from the lowest planetary system of Patala to the highest planetary system of Brahmaloka and everything in between. I am seeing within your body. Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastham. Rishim Sasarvan, Urugans Chadivyan. I want to introduce a little bit geography to you. Vedic geography. Not the Indian geography or the world geography. It is described that this whole Brahma under means it's the shape of an egg. This universe is in the form of an egg. And there are billions of universes like a mustard seed sack. And our universe is the tiniest of them. And in this universe there are 14 planetary systems. Bhur, Bhuvar, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka and Satyaloka. These are the upper planetary systems. And then there are seven lower planetary systems ending with Patala Loka. So there are 14 planetary systems. Broadly classified as lower, middle and upper. And we are exactly in the middle. Bhur Loka. That's why in the Gayatri Mantra they say Bhur Bhuva Swaha. Right? Tat Savitur Varenya. Savita means sun. The sun, Suryadev, is actually the brightening up the whole universe. So, in the Swargaloka are situated the devatas. And there are two types of devatas. The administrative devatas, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu and Surya. And then there are the primal devatas, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. It's described. So what we are discussing right now are the administrative devatas headed by Indra, who is responsible for so many aspects of the universal government. So they act as limbs of the Supreme Lord. And within the Lord's body, when he showed the Virata Rupa, from Brahma Loka down to the Patala Loka, all forms of living entities were seen by Arjun. While the Bhagavan, the word Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, is the Supreme Whole. The devatas always worship the Supreme as obedient servants. In the Vedas, in the Purusha Sukta, तद्विष्णोः परमं पदं सदा पश्यन्ति सूरयः. तद्विष्णोः परमं पदं, द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विष्णु, हिज लोटस फीट, परमं पदं सदा पश्यन्ति सूरयः. सूर, सूरज मीन्स द देवतास. दे आर ऑलवेज लुकिंग अप टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड एज हिज हम्बल सर्वेंट, एज हिज ऑर्डर कैरियर्स. यस प्लीज इंस्ट्रक्ट अस हाउ वी कैन एग्जीक्यूट योर ऑर्डर टू रन द अफेयर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स अकॉर्डिंग टू योर विल. व्हाइल ही इज सुप्रीमली वर्शिपेबल, द लॉर्ड इज द सिंगल पर्सनैलिटी हु इज वर्शिपेबल बाय all the devatas, all the 33 crore devatas. Yam brahma varunendra rudra marutah stunvanti divyaistavai vedai sanga padakramo panishadai gayanti yam samagah dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino yasyantam navidusura suragana devaya tasmai namah. The Bhagavad says, when all the devatas are harassed by the antisocial demoniac elements, then they all go to the Kshira Sagara and worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Please you descend. Enough, we are being harassed by these rascals. You have to descend and paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya siddhishkritam dharma samsthapanartha. You have to come down and establish. He is always the supremely worshipable Lord. In this way, in the Bhagavat, this particular shloka, which is sung by all the devatas come together at the Kshira Sagara, where the Lord lies in this universe. Now, all the devatas, they are created by the Supreme Lord in the beginning. This is described in the 10th chapter, 2nd verse of the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Name vidu suraganaha prabhavam nam harshayah aham adirhi devanam harshinam cha sarvashah. No one can completely understand me. Yasyantam navidu sura asuragana. Nobody can fully understand my glories, because I am the source of everything. In the beginning, the first created being within the universe was Brahma. And Brahma came from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is also called Padmanabha. From his nabhi appeared a lotus on which Lord Brahma appeared. And within that, all the 14 planetary systems manifested. While he is the ultimate creator of everything that exists. In the beginning, I told you the other day when we discussed, second day, that God, by definition, the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the supreme controller, proprietor, and enjoyer. In the 10th chapter, 8th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjun, अहम सर्वस्य प्रभवो मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम बुधा भाव समन्विताः. I am the source of everything that exists. Everything is emanating from me. One who worships me with this understanding is the most intelligent of person, and he can achieve the ultimate perfection of life. The devatas exist within the universe. From Brahmaloka to the Patala Loka, within the universe, all these devatas exist. Sometimes very high, some are very at different lokas, different planetary systems, in different realm of existence. Only the Supreme Lord is beyond. That is why when he descends, he is called Bhagwan ne avatar liya. What is the meaning of avatar? Ava means to descend. Just like there are two words, aroha, avaroha. If you all are aware of classical music, aroha means from lower to high. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa, going up. This is called aroha. Avaroha means to descend. Sanidhapa madhari. You come down from high to low frequency. This is called avaroha, to descend. Ava means to descend and taran means to move around. When the demoniac forces increase and they are harassing, including even the devatas, then they all go and beg for the Supreme Lord to descend. Then sambhavami yuge yuge, millennium after millennium, O Arjun, I descend and take various avatars. The devatas are delegated with various grades of power to manage the affairs of the universe. Just like you have Ministry of Defense, Ministry of Parliamentary Affairs, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Railways, right? Different departments. Similarly, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Surya, the lighting department, the cooling department, the education department, the defense department, the finance department. All these departments, there are particular devatas who are responsible for running the affairs. And they are all the representatives of the Lord. If anyone in any way disrespects them, they are actually disrespecting the Supreme Lord. If you slap a constable on the face, you are slapping the government. Why? Because you are disrespecting the authorized representative of the government. Therefore, a traffic police, even though he is thinner than me, can stand in the middle of the road and he does like this and all the trucks stop. Can you imagine? Simple man, he blows a whistle and say, and everyone stops. Now you may be extremely powerful, try to stop, let us see, one truck. We can't. He's a representative, he's empowered and with certain powers. And such a person can actually take a responsibility. While Bhagavan is the supreme controller, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. In the 5th chapter, 29th verse of Gita, we were discussing he is the supreme controller, he should be the supreme proprietor and the supreme enjoyer. That is clarified here in the 5th chapter, 29th verse of the Gita, where he says, yes, I am that. The controller, the proprietor and the enjoyer. And all these are empowered personalities. No way should we ever disrespect. But at the same time, okay, I'll just ask you a question. Please answer. If a inspector general of police, IGP comes and a constable comes and you have one garland with you, whom will you garland? And the local constable is the person who is your neighbor and who does all your jobs. Aapke society ka kaam wahi karta hai. And the IGP is come and he is also come. And you have only one garland. What is your IGP? How many say IGP? And how many you say constable ko main dalunga? Kyunki wo kaam ka aadmi hai, apne ko. Ek vyakti. If you garland the constable, he is embarrassed. And he is disrespected. The IGP is disrespected and the constable is embarrassed. But if you garland the IGP, the constable is fully satisfied. This is a very, very mundane example. This may not exist. Actually, amazing thing. The Lord, when he descends, he worships his representatives to set dharma samsthapanarthaya. The Lord worshipped Narada Muni in Dwarka. The Lord worshipped Sudama Brahman, washed his feet and put it on his head just to demonstrate to the whole world how you should respect the great personalities. He does it, but we should not be bewildered by misunderstanding. No, he does that. He also worships the devatas. He also, before beginning any job, he will worship Lord Ganesha. Vighna Vinaka. Let all my... Before beginning a fight, Lord Ram, when he want to begin the fight, he invoked the blessings of all the devas. Please help me in as if he's totally dependent on their power. You think he was dependent on the monkey soldiers? They used to simply write Ram, Nam and Thoro and it will float. We can cross over the cycle of birth and death with this one name. And do you think he needs all this? This is why it is called Rama Leela, Krishna Leela. Why Leela? Because it's a nice drama. Because he wants to attract the heart of the living entities and to establish dharma. This is how you should live in this world. Yes, there will be obstacles, there will be temptations, there will be distractions, but one should be firm and following the dharma. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. One should not be bewildered and carried away thinking that, see, he is also worship, therefore he is not. No, no, no. Who he is demonstrated. The devatas are subordinate to the will of the Supreme, tad vishnoho paramam padam, while the Supreme Lord is supremely independent. However, out of etiquette, he follows rules and regulations as if to say that I am just dependent on all of you. There is a beautiful pastime in Ramayana. This has happened very close to Nasik. If you go there, people tell that story. Lord Shiva and Parvati were just traveling by the airway. And airways means they were traveling, huh? Not in the any of those our airways. And then they looked at Ram when the pastime was going on. Ram was asking the trees, have you seen Sita? Have you seen Sita? Have you seen Sita? Devi started laughing. Parvati started laughing. Kaisa joru ka gulam hai ye? Something to that effect. Lord Shiva said, hey Devi, don't misunderstand. He is my worshipable Lord. Don't you think? Shri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasrama Tatulyam Rama Nama Varanane. He said, no, he's a worshipable, my worshipable Lord. This is just his pastime. Does he not know where Sita is? He knows. No, no, I don't believe. I am going to test him. Don't you dare. No, I'll test him. All right, if you want to. And Parvati assumed the form of Sita. And she stood behind a tree. And Ram was going around. Oh, this particular tree, he was asking. Mad! Completely infatuated, as if. And he was telling, asking, have you seen Sita? Oh dear, you have such big eyes. Have you seen Sita? Why are you looking in that direction? Did she go that way? And suddenly, Sita is standing right there. And Lord Ram looks at Sita Devi, under inverted commas, and says, Devi, how come you are here? Where is your husband? How come you are traveling all alone here? Suddenly, Sita blushes. And she understands, oh. And then she goes back. And she says, I told you, this is my Lord's amazing pastime. In 1 second, he can crush Ravan. Because he's inside the heart of Ravan. He can give him a heart attack from inside. But this is just his Leela. Simply so that we can hear the Ramayana. Imagine if Lord Ram had not done this. Padte kya phir hum? If Mahabharata was not there, if Ramayana was not there. Time pass kaise karte hamara? Manohar Leela. Just to attract the heart of the devotees. Their forms are influenced by material laws and modes. The form of the devatas. While the Lord's form is completely spiritual. There is no, just like our body grows, dwindles and dies. The Lord appears. You will never see the form of the Lord aging beyond 16 years. He is ever youthful. Why? Because this is his pastime. He just comes to perform a beautiful pastime. Very interesting. The administrative devatas, Indra, etc., Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Surya, etc., Kubera, etc., are temporary posts. They are position, just like Ministry of Defense. Defense Minister is not a person, is a position that is occupied by a person for 5 years if he is very fortunate. Right? They are all posts. So the administrative devatas are posts. For example, Indra. Indra is a post. Currently, the post of Indra is occupied by a personality. He will be replaced by another Indra in the next Manvantara. Like our ministers, if they are fortunate, have 5 years to rule. The demigods, each of these devatas, they rule for 71 Mahayuga cycles. Currently, we discussed the other day, Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years, Dwapar is 8,64,000, Treta is 17,28,000, and Satyuga is 12,96,000, and Satyuga is 17,28,000. That means 43,20,000 is one Sat, Treta, Dwapar and Kali cycle. 71 times 43,20,000 into 71. So many solar years is the duration of these powerful devatas. From our point of view, they are eternal. Practically. Because billions of generations, they will be the same. Pardon? Yeah. In one day of Brahma, 14 times the devatas change. In the Bhagavad Puran it is described, next Indra Padvi will be occupied by Bali Maharaj. This is universal politics. We are busy in Indian politics. We don't know who will become the next. But this is universal politics. Bali Maharaj, who was pushed by Vaman Dev to the Sutala Loka, he will become the next Indra. And in one day of Brahma, 14 times the devatas change. This is just some information about, you know, universal politics. And there is no election, mind you. Everything is selected. Saptarishis, who will be there? Currently, the Surya Dev is Vivaswan. Chandra is Soma. His description is there in the Mahabharata and in the Bhagavatam. The kings and very, very qualified personalities from the universe are selected to occupy these posts. Just like, for example, Yamraj. Yamraj was cursed by Mandavya Muni to become Vidura. And when Yamraj was cursed, because that's a big story, I don't want to. Yamraj was cursed because he punished a rishi wrongly. Judgment mein thoda gadbadi ho gaya. And therefore, he had to undergo tremendous punishment. And when he died, the Mandavya rishi was so powerful, he went back to Yamraj and he said, aapka check karo aapka, kuch to gadbadi hai. And then he said, no, dekha ho, aapne ek sui aisa ghusaya tha ek cheenti ke isme se, isi liye aapko bola. Haan, I was a small child at that time, even a delinquent. You know, children are, when they do, it is not to be considered. I curse you. You will become a Shudra when you go to the earthly planet. Yamaraj wanted a break anyway. Sitting in the Yamaloka and, you know, frying people. So he also wanted a break. He said, all right, very nice. He became Vidura. None other than actually Yamaraj. And at that time, the position of Yamaraj was occupied by Aryama. This is described in the Mahabharata. He occupied that post for some time. He was Yamaraj. Here, I would also like to bring up to you a very, very important understanding. There is Surya, there is Chandra, there is Indra, there is Varuna, there is Vayu. Please try to understand. There are two aspects to the devatas. Just like Yama. Yamaraj has access to punishing those who are break the laws of God. They go to Yamaloka. But the Supreme Lord as Antaryami is sitting inside. If you listen to his voice, our conscience, such a person has never to see Yamaraj. Those who listen to the ultimate Yama is inside as Antaryami, the regulator from inside. Those who listen to their conscience, purified conscience, don't have to see Yamaraj. Similarly, let us take Surya. Surya is a devata who is empowered to light up the whole creation. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the ultimate Surya. Why? Because he can light up the darkness within the core of your heart. He is situated in the core of the heart. He can lighten up. Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. He lights up from within that even Surya can't light up. So in this way, the power of the devatas is ultimately coming from the Supreme Lord. And if he withdraws, the demigods have no power. These administrative devatas. One time, this is there in the Upanishads. One time, all the devatas were sitting and discussing among themselves. They had become a little proud about their power. And a Brahman, old Brahman, happened to walk in. And they asked, "Who are you?" So they chose one devata, Agnidev, to go and find out who the identity of this old Brahman. So Agnidev went and said, "Who are you?" And that old man said, "Who are you?" So Agnidev really felt insulted. "You don't know? Just by looking at my body, you don't know? I am Agnidev." I said, "Oh, what can you do?" "I can burn everything to ashes." "Really?" And this old man took a dry grass, one blade of grass, and he kept it and he said, "Blow it, let me see." And Agni blew and he just blew off. But he just couldn't destroy that dry blade of grass. And he hung his head in shame and walked back. Then Vayu came. "Tum kono bhai?" "Main Vayu." "Achha, tum kya kar sakte ho?" "Kya kar sakta hu? Koi cheez ko ek jagah sthir nahi, sabko uda dunga." "Achha, blow this dry piece of grass." And he blew and he blew and he blew. Nothing happened. He also went back. In this way, all these powerful personalities came. Ultimately, they realized they all fell at the feet of this Brahman and said, "You are not an ordinary person. You must be a very divine personality. Come to just kind of, you know, humble us. Please reveal who you are." And then the Lord, you know, Shankar Chakra Kadapadma revealed and said, "Don't forget where you get your power from. Don't be proud of borrowed plumes, as they say." He said, "Please understand, this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 39th and 40th verse. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam shrimad urjitam evava, tatta devavagachatvam mama tejah aunsha sambhavam. It's a small, tiny fragment of my power. And these personalities can be. But at the same time, we must understand, these are wonderful pastimes that are shown. Sometimes I agree, I also beg to confess that some of our ISKCON Hare Krishna devotees have immaturely presented these powerful devatas in their enthusiasm of newer preaching endeavor in a very minimizing their position. But must understand, these are extremely worshipable personalities. There are two extremes. One extreme is to think that all are same. No, they are not the same. They are all empowered personalities by the Lord. The Lord is ultimately the Supreme. Another extreme is to think that he is the Supreme and everyone is just, you know, simple people. No. By taking any of these extreme stands, we are actually offending these great personalities. Therefore, this is very important to understand. Now, there are people who worship the devatas, while there are also people who worship the Supreme Lord, Bhagwan. What is the difference? Those who worship the devatas, in the 7th chapter, 23rd verse of Bhagavad Gita, it says, antamattu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedasam. If people who worship the devatas worship them for some insignificant, temporary, material benefits alone, then they are very foolish. Because these devatas can give you the greatest gift of life. But if you only ask them for something paltry, you will get that. Like for example, here people in Maharashtra worship Lord Ganesh. In the Dwadasha Nama Stotra of Lord Ganesh, it says, Vidyarthi labhate vidyam, dhanarthi labhate dhanam, putrarthi labhate putram, mokshaarthi labhate gatim, japet ganapati stotram, shadbhir maase phalam labhet, samvatsarena siddhincha labhate natra sanshaya. So if you ask for something, simple thing, he will give you what you want. What do you ask for to these devatas is very important. You can go to Hanumanji and say, oh dear Maruti, get me a Maruti. Every Saturday I am coming and putting oil. Better give me. You will get it. Ashta Siddhi Navanidhi Ke Data Asavaradina Janaki Mata. He will give you. He can give you Ashta Siddhi. He can give you Navanidhi. But if you go and say, I am fool number one. You give me what you think is right. Then he's opened his chest and showing, Are Murkh, Ram Naam Jap. Dekh mere hirde mein, chhati phad ke bol raha hun tujhe. Mere hirde mein yahi hai. This is the crest jewel that I can give you. So, if he asks, I have seen sometimes, children, especially students, during exam time, suddenly there is a rush in the temple. And they come and touch everything, anything that is there. What devotion, amazing. And after exam, vacation comes, vacation to temple also. Why? Result aane ke pahle din, June 14 tarikh ko aaunga Prabhu. Kyunki kaam ki baatein us samay karni hai. So, some people approach these devatas as a business deal. If you do this, I'll give this. They'll give you. They are supposed to give you. They'll give you. But it's actually less intelligent. Alpamedasam. There was a lady, one time a lady, old lady. She, every day she would go to the forest, cut wood, carry it on her head, sell it in the village, get some money, go to the market, purchase something, cook and eat. This was her daily routine. One day, as she was carrying the wood on her head, the king of that country happened to come. And he was extremely in a charitable mood. He said, Budhiya, tu jo mangti mang le. Tujhe jo mangegi main dene. He could have given half of his kingdom if she had asked. And you know what she asked? Beta, ye lakdi utha utha ke thak gayi hoon. Yahan se is kandhe pe dal de beta. And he picked it up from his horse. He picked it up and put it on the right shoulder. And he went, Thik hai budhiya, chalta hoon main. Maiya, main chalta hoon. Is that good intelligence? This is what we are. We go to these powerful personalities and we are asking for something paltry. Give me a promotion. Agle baar aunga, phir se dusra promotion bhi dena, 5 saal ke baad. Thik hai, you will get it. But really what this personality can give, if we can actually understand, he can remove. Lord Ganesha is Vighna Vinayaka. Nirvighnam Kurume Deva Sarvakaryeshu Sarvada. Nirvighnam. He can remove all the obstacles. Why don't we ask for removing the obstacles from the ultimate goal of life? This is real intelligence. But if we ask, remove this small inclination, this significant, this, oh, traffic ke samne pack ho gaya, thoda hata do na, theek hai, that beginner will be removed. So that is what is considered to be many material and temporary. Boons are awarded, cannot be awarded without the sanction of the Lord. The Lord is the sanctioner and the devatas, they are like the agents, while the Lord is the sanctioner. That is described in the 7th chapter, 22nd verse. Sataya shaddhaya yuktastasya radhanami hate labhate cha tatah kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. I am this ultimate sanctioner of all the boons ultimately, and they are my empowered representatives and agents to give them. So while taking, we must know that actually it is all coming from, just like the government, we pay to the tax, but actually it is going to the government. He is the ultimate, the government is the ultimate enjoyer or the controller, like that. He is an agent like that. All the benedictions are ultimately bestowed by the Supreme Lord alone. If we worship a particular devata, then you go to that particular devata's abode, our destination. Yanti devavrata devan, pitrinyanti pitivrataha, bhutani yanti bhutejya, yanti madhyajino pimam. If you worship the devatas, you go to the devatas abode. If you worship the pitriloka, there is a place called pitriloka. You go to the pitris. This is the pitripaksha going on. That's pitriloka. Then there is bhuta yajna. Then so many kind of black arts. Then you go to their planet, wherever they reside. And it says, if you worship me, the Lord says, you will come to my abode. What is the difference between swarga and vaikuntha? Swarga loka is materially extremely advanced place. Lot of wonderful facilities is there, where Indra and all these powerful personalities live. And sometimes even demons go and attack and cause anxiety for Indra. But the Lord's abode is called Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. Even in Swargaloka, Indra is in anxiety that he may lose his power. Some Rishi Muni does tapasya, he's in anxiety, they may take my power. But Vaikuntha is the abode of the Supreme Lord. Kuntha means anxiety. There is no birth, there is no old age, there is no disease, there is no death, no anxiety. It's an eternal life. That is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So there is difference between Sarga and Vaikuntha. Sometimes people say Swargvaspa Unka. That's one level of understanding. But Vaikuntha means a point of no return. That is described in the 8th chapter, 21st verse of Bhagavad Gita. Avyakta akshara ityuktastamahu paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. The devatas can award you liberation from material obstacles. If you are a poor person, they give you liberation from poverty by giving you riches. If you are a sick person, they give you health and liberate you from all this sickly condition. But there is one ultimate liberation. Liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Bhava sagar ko par karana. Bhava. Bhava means punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. Repeated cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. To get out of that and go back to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, one has to take shelter of Bhagavan. This is confirmed by all these powerful personalities, the devatas also, that if you want that, then you please go to the Supreme Lord. The devatas are bound to give you what you ask. Whereas the Lord gives you what you need. That's the difference between a shopkeeper and a father. The shopkeeper has opened a shop, cigarette shop. And you go and pay money and say, 555. If a child goes, 10-year-old child, and gives money and tell the shopkeeper, uncle, 555 though. He has to give because he has opened the shop. But if a son comes to the father and gives money and says, Mereko 555 do, the father may take the money and give him 555 slaps. You rascal, this is why I give you. If you perform particular type of tapasya, the devatas are bound to give you what they are supposed to give. Even though they don't want to, but they are forced to give. But when we worship the Supreme Lord, He knows what is best for us. Even if you ask for something else, He won't give you. That is why some of the demoniac personalities worship the devatas, but never go to the Supreme Lord. Because they think, "Aye, kabhi jayenge to nahi dega, thappad maar ke bhej dega." तपस्या भी करना पड़ेगा, उसके बाद थप्पड़ भी पड़ेगा, नहीं तेरे लिए अच्छा नहीं है ये. सो देयरफॉर दैट इज नॉट सैंक्शनेबल, दैट्स नॉट एग्रीएबल. नाउ दीज आर व्हाट आई स्पोक अबाउट आर द एडमिनिस्ट्रेटिव देवतास एंड द हाईएस्ट इन द मटेरियल रेल्म आर द थ्री प्राइमल देवतास एंड दैट इज Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Vishnu, who are considered to be the first creator, the maintainer and the destructor of the whole practical universe. Brahma, they are called the Guna Avatar. Rajo Guna, Raja is necessary for creation and the personality is Lord Brahma. And to destroy you need tama, tamas. And that is the personification of that is Lord Shiva. When he does his tandava nritya, that is the annihilation of the whole creation. When he opens his third eye, finish, that's the end of it. And then there is Vishnu, who's the maintainer. In the sattva-guna, he maintains. There is a creation, there is maintenance and there is destruction. So these three are called the primal personalities within the universe. Brahma is a living entity who is supremely qualified in the whole universe. He occupies the position of Brahma. And Shiva is actually non-different from the Supreme Lord. Just like milk and curd, they are one and still different. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord Vishnu comes in contact with material nature, Durga, then that is Shiva. So that is not a position. This is not a post. It's not a post somebody can occupy. No, these are all the representations of the Supreme Lord Himself. And they are considered the most worshipable personalities within the universe. And Vishnu, not only is the maintainer, but he is considered the ultimate personality, Bhagavan. Now, come very important question I would like to, almost coming to an end, so I would like to tell. Generally, when I give this talk, there are many probably here who have been worshipping some particular devatas, and sometimes they may feel a little confused, they may feel a little hurt, they may feel a little offended. What does he think? What is he speaking? Therefore, I am quoting everything from the scripture as it is. If any of you have any question, I'll give you the references. I'm just repeating. I'm like a postal peon, just repeating the words. But invariably, when I have given these lectures, there are some typical questions that come. And I would like to actually take up those. Especially the three important aspect of the devata worship. If The Lord wants the worship. The worship of the Supreme Lord is the best. Why are worship of the devatas recommended at all in the Vedic literatures? Isn't it? He could have just said, worship me. As in other religion, there's only one God. There's no confusion. Why at all in the Vedic religion, so many kinds of worship of the various kinds of devatas? Because the Vedic scriptures, it's not like my way or the highway. It's like a university. From KG to PhD, all shades are available. It caters to everyone's needs. Anyone and everyone can be accommodated within this system. And wherever you get connected, the only direction is you progress. If you simply continue to follow the process, it is so perfectly designed. Therefore, this is the only country where we find, where the Vedic scriptures are followed, that since time immemorial, though there were so many foreign invasions, and there were grossly and subtly efforts to completely wipe away this culture just could not be eradicated. How come? And it's amazing thing, everyone is embraced and accommodated here. This is the unique aspect. But in the process, unfortunately, we are becoming so much alienated from our own rich culture and its intricacies and scientific presentation that today we are so ashamed to actually call ourselves the followers of the Vedic religion. And therefore it is necessary that we need to be understanding this. So, why worship of the devatas recommended at all in Vedic literatures? Very simple. Suppose a child has malaria and it has to be given quinine. Quinine is very bitter medicine. And if mother tells the truth, beta, this is the bittermost medicine, open your mouth. Obviously the child will not. Therefore, she sugarcoats the whole tablet. And says, beta, here is a sweet for you, open your mouth, it just goes inside. Similarly, we have a desire to achieve something in this world. We have so many desires. I want this, I want this, I want this. Some material desires. And to fulfill those material desires, alright, you worship this personality, they will give you what you want. Yes, it's a fact. Vidyarthi labhate vidyam, dhanarthi labhate dhanam, putrarthi labhate putram. Arthaha, when a person is distressed, or artharthi, when a person desires something, he gets what he wants. But the sugar coating is, you will have to worship this particular devata for a particular period of time. It's very interesting. The worship of the devatas are specifically meant for particular days. If you see that, you know, one particular day. At least once in a week you should worship. On this particular day you should worship. Right? The Supreme Lord, there is no day. But the devatas worship, there's a particular day. You worship on this particular day. So you go there and you do it. And if you worship for so many things, you know, so many, if you see, Jo yaha padhe Hanuman Chalisa hoye siddhis, Jo shat bar paath kar jo hi chhoot hi band mahasukh hoy. So some number is given so that some discipline develops. And eventually we start worshipping them regularly. But the worship of the devatas is designed in such a way, just like the sugar coating is there, but the medicine should go inside. Any demigod worship, any devatas worship, if you see, in the beginning and in the end, there is worship of the Supreme Lord. For example, in Maharashtra, in Calcutta, it is Durga Puja is very famous. Navaratri, especially here and elsewhere. But here, because Ganesh Puja is very strong, If you see, when Ganesha is worshipped, even at your home, and you call a bhajji and start worshipping, before the worship of the devatas, they begin with worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Om Keshavaya Namah, Narayana Namah, Govindaya Namah, Anantaya Namah. Apavitra pavitra va sarvavastham gato viva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabaya abhyantara shuchihi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, and then vakratundam mahakaya surya koti samaprabha nirvighnam kurume deva sarvakarishu. Even before worshipping Lord Ganesh, you begin with the worship of Vishnu and end after you. The whole aarti ends. I was just listening to the aarti. The whole aarti ends. How does it end? Kayena vacha manaseendriyerva budhyatmana avana sutta subhava karomi yadya sakalam parasmai narayana iti samarpayami. Kayena, by your body, vacha, by your words, manasa, by your mind, indriyerva, by your senses, buddhi, by your intelligence, atmana, by yourself, anusruta svabhava, by your nature, karomi yadyad, whatever I do from morning to evening, 365 days a year, sakalam, everything, parasmai, to the Lord who is beyond this creation, who? Narayana, iti samarpayami. And how do you samarpayami? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This is the real medicine. Beginning and the end, you take the medicine of worship of the Supreme Lord. It doesn't matter. And if we continue to worship any of these devatas, any of them, invariably, they actually connect us to their worshipable personality, whom they represent, the Supreme Lord. It is a fact. If we can continue beyond, even after getting the benefit, as a form of duty, as an obligation, if we continue out of gratitude to worship any of these devatas, they actually connect us to that Supreme Personality. So therefore, the devatas' worship is recommended in the scriptures. Now, one time one lady asked me, and very important question. All these years I have been worshipping a particular personality. And today you are telling me that this is the Supreme Lord Bhagavan and this is a devata. Alright, even theoretically suppose I accept. If I surrender to Krishna or Vishnu, whatever, am I not being unchaste to my worshipable Lord? Indirectly she was telling, he may say, wah, abhi lecture sunke udhar chali gaya, itne saal se mera kar rahi thi, dekh tera kya karta. Sometimes there is a fear, sometimes there is concern, and sometimes there is somebody has done so much, how can I just give up? Somebody, even a friend, a gentleman, will never forget the help a friend has done at the time of need. What to speak of these great personalities? So how do we accommodate this? How do we understand this? How do we adjust this? Or should we worship the Supreme Lord or not? Or am I already doing it? Is it in and of itself complete? What exactly should we do? We must understand, if at all, if we have come to understand about this knowledge, it is simply because of that personality whom you have been worshipping. It is that personality's mercy, genuine mercy, you have got today, that you have understood. They have revealed to you who actually their worshipable personality is. It is only by their mercy. And therefore, your faith, your dedication, your worship towards them should increase and not decrease. Because you should know, they are your real friends. They are your real well-wishers. Because they have seen in you some sincerity, they have connected you to their worshipable Lord. One of my relatives, very, very devoted, she is a Hanuman worshipper. And she asked me this particular question after she took a CD of my lectures, and she heard and she called me and she said, and I told her this, I said, because you are worshipping Hanumanji. It is Hanumanji who is actually connecting you. Yeah? It's actually Hanumanji who is connecting. Rama Duta Atulita Baladhama Anjani Pavana Sutanama. Rama Duare Tumarakhavare. He's actually Ram's devotee. If you ask him for some benefits, material benefits, he will give you those benefits. But if you go in front of any of these devatas, whomever we are worshipping, worshipable personalities, if the prayer should be, I am fool number one. I don't know what to ask for, what not to ask for. Please guide me to what is best for me. And if this is our prayer, believe me, the scriptures say that they will be guided. There is actual incident about a very powerful scholar called Keshav Kashmiri. This man was the supreme worshipper of Saraswati Devi. He was always worshipping. He was well known in all directions as the greatest worshipper of Saraswati Devi. And he would go defeat everyone. He would take Vijay Patra from them. Certificate of victory. He would challenge in all the directions. Digvijay Pandit. He had become Digvijay. One day, he was defeated by apparently very simple looking scholar who was just a grammar teacher. He defeated him. Can you imagine a powerful PhD scholar being defeated by a nursery school boy? And he couldn't sleep that day. He went and cried and cried. He went in front of Saraswati and she said, have I offended you? Oh my worshipable goddess, have I offended you some way? Whenever I speak, you sit on my tongue and I'm able to conquer the whole directions. Today, how I went dumb. How I was stunned. I just couldn't speak. No words could come out from my mouth. What had happened to me? And he was crying and crying and somehow he just kind of dozed off. And the last fag end of the night. And Saraswati appeared in his dream. And he said, you fool. Today I am most pleased with you. Today I have given you my real mercy. She said, till now you are asking me for material knowledge. Success in material knowledge. Which was simply increasing your pride. And you were getting caught up with, you know, me and mine, etc. Today the personality who defeated you is none other than my worshipable Lord. He has come in this form to defeat you. Today you have received my real mercy. Go, fall at the feet of that personality. Beg forgiveness. And from this understanding, through real humility, today I am giving you devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotion to the Supreme Lord. This is the ultimate gift I can give to someone. So similarly, if we worship any of these devatas with genuine heart, with some sincerity, as an obligation, in spite of, even after they have given that gift, it's not that you give the gift, all right, business deal is okay, abhi tum jao kisi aur ke paas jaunga, nahi. If we continue, these great personalities reveal to us connection to that Supreme Lord. These are the two faces of the devatas. One aspect is the material aspect. If you go to Hanumanji and ask for some material benefits, he will give you Ashtasiddhi Navanidhi. But if you go and beg, I am fool number one, give me, he will give you bhakti to the Supreme Lord Ram. He himself is a Rama Bhakta. He's always chanting. So if you chant the name of Lord, he jumps next to you and hold you on his shoulder and start dancing. This is his ultimate satisfaction. This is his ultimate pleasure. Are we going to a personality as a business deal to get what they give? Or do we love them? If you love someone, you want to please them by serving them. And how do we please them? Ask them what pleases them. And they show what pleases them. And that is devotion to the Supreme Lord. And the third question and the last question about worship of the devatas. All right, you've been telling that material desire, bhautik ichchhaye nahi honi chahiye, bhautik ichchhaye sab bahut tuchh hai. But Maharaj, hamare hriday mein bhar bhar ke hai bahut sari ichchhaye, kaise chhod sakte usko? Suppose I go to the Supreme Lord, बहुत सारी इच्छा भी है ना, उसका क्या? ठीक है, अब समझ में आ गया, मेटीरियल इट मेक्स, इंटेलेक्चुअली इट मेक्स सेंस, बट महाराज आपको क्या मालूम, आप तो मंदिर में बैठ के हरे राम हरे कृष्णा बोलते हो. अरे बहुत सारी समस्याएं होती है, मांगना पड़ता है भगवान से, उनसे नहीं मांगे तो किससे मांगेंगे? वन हैज टू अंडरस्टैंड बाय गोइंग टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड all that you need and all that you want will be fulfilled in a perfect way without even asking for it. The Father supplies all our needs and wants even without us asking, because they know what is best for us, and the Lord is the Supreme Father. I'll give you one example. One time, one big king, he decided to travel all over this kingdom. And he was in a magnanimous mood, at a charitable mood. जो कोई मांगेगा सब मिलेगा. And ew, ढिंडोरा पिटवा दिया उसने. आज महाराज जी सब गांव में आएंगे, जो जो मांगेगा सब उसको मिलेगा. And he entered a village. And the first person approached. There were so many houses, huts. One man approached. महाराज महाराज, हमारी हमारी लड़की की शादी है, थोड़ा पैसा नहीं है, पैसा दिलवा दो. चलो 2 लाख सैंक्शन इसको. द मंत्री वॉज नोकिंग नोटिंग डाउन यू नो मिस्टर, 2 लाख सैंक्शन करा दो लड़की की शादी. ठीक है, हाँ हुजूर. नेक्स्ट, महाराज हमारे घर के सामने की जो रास्ता है वो कच्चा है, थोड़ा पक्का करा दीजिए उसको, बारिश में बहुत चिपचिप होता है, इसका घर का कंपाउंड के सामने सारा पक्का करा दो, सीमेंट का रास्ता, फर्स्ट क्लास हाईवे. ऑलराइट. नेक्स्ट, हिजड़ हमारा घर टूटा हुआ है, हमारा छोटा सा झोपड़िया है, उसको थोड़ा थोड़ा ये बना दो. बोले ठीक है, इसको एक अच्छा वाला 2 BHK. मीरा रोड में कितना होता नहीं मालूम, पर वहां बना दो 2 BHK फ्लैट. वी वर सैंक्शन, एंड इन दिस वे वर सैंक्शनिंग एवरीवन. लास्टली देयर वाज एन ओल्ड मैन सिटिंग देयर एंड ही कुडंट हियर प्रॉपरली, एंड द मिनिस्टर सेड, महाराज जी आए हैं, क्या चाहिए बोलो. नहीं नहीं महाराज जी आए आज बड़े दानी दान देने के मूड में, क्या चाहिए बोलो. हम उनकी दोस्त बनना चाहते हैं. अच्छा दोस्त, ये आपके दोस्त बनना, हाँ ठीक है, ये दोस्त लिख लो. दोस्त बन गया. एंड द किंग लेफ्ट एंड एवरीवन स्टार्टेड लाफिंग एट द ओल्ड मैन. अरे बूढ़ा सटिया गया, क्या मांगता है? दोस्ती मांगता है. कुछ मांगना था कुछ? बोले नहीं, आई एम हैप्पी, आई आस्क फॉर हिज फ्रेंडशिप, मैं खुश हूं. 2 months later, the king called the minister, said, "Amara wo visit kya ho gaya? Foreign visit? Sorry, village visit." He said, "Maharaj, 2 lakh sanction ho gaya uske ghar ka, wo ladki ke shaadi ka, iska ghar ban gaya, aur uska ghar ke samne kachcha ka pakka road ban gaya. To aur kuch? To Maharaj, ek bacha hai. Kya? Wo aapka dost? To main kya karu? Arre dost hai Maharaj, kabhi to ja ke aao uske ghar. Chalo." अगले महीना मैं उसके घर जाऊंगा और एक हफ्ता ठहरूंगा. आई एम गोइंग टू स्टे इट हिज हाउस फॉर 1 week बिकॉज इज माय फ्रेंड. एज सून एज द मिनिस्टर केम टू नो दैट द किंग इज गोइंग टू गो टू दैट ओल्ड मैन हाउस एंड स्टे, अ ह्यूज पैलेशियल बिल्डिंग वॉज कंस्ट्रक्टेड फॉर हिम. थाउजेंड्स ऑफ सर्वेंट्स, फर्नीचर एंड ऑल नेसेसरी वॉज दे वर एम्प्लॉयड. And his all his daughters, everyone, all their, you know, whatever was necessary, everything was supplied. And an express highway was constructed from his house to the palace. And then all the villagers came. Bola, yaar, tu to sabse jyada hoshyar nikla. Tu sabse jyada hoshyar nikla. Hum to unse dosti kiye. So similarly, by accepting the Supreme Lord as our friend, who is our ultimate Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, he is the ultimate well-wishing friend, do we think that he will let us down? He will never let us down. He knows exactly what we need. Sometimes if what we want is not what we need, He may not give it. As a father, as a loving father, sometimes we may want something. A child may like to play with a broken piece of glass. And the mother will very cleverly take it away and give something that is very good. Dhruva Maharaj, as a child, wanted out of envy of his stepmother. He wanted a kingdom better than his great-grandfather Brahma. And he went and performed tapasya. And the Lord appeared. When the Lord appeared and he said, Dhruva, ask me for anything you want. Dhruva started crying tears. And he said, my Lord, I was looking for a piece of broken glass. Now I have found a jewel. I have found the diamond of devotion to your lordship. I don't want now. But the Lord said, no, you had originally come with a desire. I will give you a planet which even when Brahmaloka is destroyed, your loka will not be destroyed. Your planet will not be destroyed. You will get the Dhruvaloka. And you will rule this kingdom for 36,000 celestial years. Whichever kingdom right now you have. Not only that, you will get this eternally. So in this way, foolishly we should not think that if I reject someone and go to that Supreme Lord and worship, I will be a loser. No, you can't be a loser. Because he is your well-wishing father. Tomeva mata cha pita tomeva, tomeva bandhuscha sakha tomeva. He's all in all. He's our genuine well-wisher. How can he deprive us of anything that is best for us? That conviction we must have. This is a very technical question. ठीक है महाराज को एक चीज बोलो कृष्ण भगवान है या राम भगवान है या विष्णु भगवान है कितने सारे अवतार हो गए इसमें भगवान कौन है उसमें भी बहुत सारे हैं ना मत्स्य अवतार कुर्मा अवतार ये अवतार वो अवतार वन टाइम एट कुरला आई वांटेड टू अटेंड फॉर ए प्रोग्राम एंड आई सैट इन ए रिक्शा इट वॉज 10 मिनट्स डिस्टेंस एंड दैट फेलो वॉज ड्राइविंग द रिक्शा एंड ही सेड महाराज एक प्रश्न पूछू क्या मैं बोला हाँ पूरा पूछो भाई तो महाराज राम बड़ा कि साम बड़ा मैं बोला यार इतना टेक्निकल प्रश्न पूछा है तो राइडिंग ए रिक्शा इन कुरला इन द मिडस्ट ऑफ द ट्रैफिक एट 7 PM इन द इवनिंग इवन सिटिंग इन पीसफुल क्लासेस लाइक दिस स्टिल इट इज लिटिल डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड और वो भी ड्राइविंग करते करते बोला महाराज राम बड़ा कि साम बड़ा And I was thinking how to answer this fellow. Then I looked in the rickshaw. Throughout his rickshaw there were round stickers. And all the stickers were of Amitabh Bachchan. And I looked at them. And I said, ये आपके प्रश्न से उत्तर देने से पहले मैं आपसे एक प्रश्न पूछता हूं. हाँ बोला पूछो महाराज. बोला आप बताओ अमर अकबर एंथोनी का एंथोनी बड़ा या बड़े मियां बड़ा या शराबी बड़ा या डॉन बड़ा या कूली बड़ा एंड इन दिस वे आई वेंट ऑन अमिताभ सहस्त्र नाम एंड फॉर 10 seconds ही वॉज जस्ट ड्राइविंग एंड सडनली ही स्वर्व्ड द ऑटो इन द कॉर्नर एंड स्टॉप्ड इट As he went, I thought he was going to hit the rear. And he stopped it and he turned. Maharaj, samajh gaya. Sab ek hi hai na? Bola, ekdam. He liked the answer so much. He didn't take money from me. Said, Maharaj, aaj aapka free, aapka ride. So yes, Krishna says in the Gita, Sambhavami yuge yuge. He's the same Lord. Who yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He's the same. But he appears in different millenniums to perform very, very wonderful activities with a desire to actually attract our heart. Manohar lila. Manah harati. Man ko harne wale lila karte hain. Though for him, killing Ravan for Ram It's like, it's not a big deal. But the whole Ramayana was enacted simply to attract the heart of the living entities, to understand and establish simultaneously the principles of dharma. And therefore, one must understand that yes, there are different forms. There is one little technical difference. Vishnu is God in his office, and Krishna is God at his home. Think about this. God is in office and God is at home. When God is in his office, just like when an inspector, when the inspector is in office, he has two guns hanging and a stick and, you know, like all the uniform and belt and... But the same inspector, when he goes home, he doesn't carry gun and all that while sitting for dinner. Or a high court judge. When a high court judge is in office, everyone goes, Your Highness, Your Honor. And when the same high court judge comes home, he looks at his wife and folds his hands and says, Your Honor, Your Highness, his food, kuch khana wana milega. So at office, there is awe and reverence. Because he's carrying all kinds of weapons and, you know, his business. He means business. But when the same personality is at home, there is intimacy and sweetness. Similarly, when Vishnu, for the purpose of creation, Paritranaya, Sadhunamina, he comes with Chanka, Chakra, Gada and Padma. Chakra and Gada are meant for Vinashaya Chadishkritam. And Shankha and Padma are meant for Paritranaya Sadhunam. But when the same God is at home, he is relaxed. Sometimes his mother chastises him. Can you imagine? God being chastised by mother, little difficult to understand. But it just steals away the heart of people, devotees, who hear this pastime. This is a real incident that happened. The British Prime Minister, Gladstone, this is a few years ago, he, you know, Britishers are known for punctuality. And a secretary was approached by a visitor. Visitor was given appointment at 6 p.m. in the evening. He came, he was sitting there, it became 7 p.m. and the Prime Minister was busy. And the visitor was getting a little disturbed and agitated. How can the Prime Minister, who's supposed to be so punctual, 1 hour late, and the secretary would come, excuse me, sir, you have to forgive that. It is really busy. He's really busy. He said, who is this person? Why is he so busy? And the door was a little ajar. And therefore, this visitor came and opened the door and peeped inside to see who is that personality who is taking the time of this British Prime Minister? 1 hour. And he saw the British Prime Minister was in suit, coat, boot, everything. And he was crawling on his floor like that. And his grandson was sitting on his neck and riding like a horse. Chal mere ghode, tick, tick, tick. This was very shocking. Now, just because he's crawling on the floor, you think he's not the Prime Minister? He's still the Prime Minister. But at home, when the real grandson comes and says, Dadaji, aaj tumhare upar chadh ke ghoda banana tumko. He becomes a ghoda. He becomes anything just to please someone whom he loves. Similarly, when the Lord descends in this world, his activities are simply meant to attract the heart of the living entities. And somebody who can understand this, understands the signs of God. Can we have the lights off? We'll just conclude with a slideshow. I'm really sorry. Today we have exceeded by 10 minutes. I'll just take 10 more minutes. So today the discussion was about God, the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the supreme controller, proprietor and enjoyer. And that personality, according to the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedic scriptures, is none other than the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Now when someone sees this picture of a little cowherd boy, this is a little difficult to digest. How could he, a simple little cowherd boy, born 93 kilometers southeast of Delhi in a village called Vrindavan 5,000 years ago and perform activities for a few years, is worshipped by millions of people as the Supreme Lord, the source of everything that exists, supreme controller, proprietor and enjoyer? This is a little bit difficult to digest. Especially when we see it is described that the devotees of the Supreme Lord like Prahlad and others were totally fearless, totally independent. But their worshipable Lord is completely dependent on the mercy of his mother, Mother Yashoda. And whenever there is a thundering of the cloud, clapping of the cloud, he runs and comes and hides and tells Mother Yashoda, I am extremely scared. How could he worship this personality as God? Isn't it a bit too much? The devotees of the Lord are supposed to be men of integrity, and their worshipable Lord is a thief. Makhan chor. Now if you call somebody as a chief guest and say, ye bahut bade chor hain, inhone ye churaya hai. That's not the best way to introduce someone. Can you imagine? We say, ran chod. He ran away from the battle. And you go, makhan chor. Can you imagine calling the Supreme Lord a thief? All that is okay, but this is too much. How could somebody dance with other men's wives in the middle of the night in the bushes of Vrindavan and claims himself to be most morally upright and most dignified person? And in fact, it tells in the Bhagavad Gita, you should live a very moral and spiritual life. Therefore, until and unless somebody really understands the scriptures through a proper source, it can be the most bewildering thing. That is why in the 4th chapter, 9th verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti taktvatah tyaktva deham punarjanmaneti mameti. My birth and my activities are completely transcendental. Transcendental means the laws of this world don't apply. We are born here because of our past karma. The Lord doesn't come because of his karma. He comes to establish the principles of religion and in this way perform beautiful pastime to attract the heart. Even when he was a little child, just barely 3 months old, he didn't go to the gym and perform and develop muscles, but he sucked away the life from the breast of a demoness called Putana, who had anointed her breast with milk and lot of poison just to kill him. There are so many amazing events and pastimes described where Kamsa would send, the demon would send so many his associates only with a desire to somehow kill Krishna, and effortlessly, sometimes the forest was burned to kill him and the whole forest fire was devoured by Krishna within a second. Now somebody says, I am also God. So many people can say, I am also Krishna. Let them repeat this pastime. If someone says, I am God, please ask them to open their mouth. And please come, go closer if you can avoid the bad breath. And see what is inside, other than the soft palate and uvula and some broken teeth, if you can see something. When Krishna once ate dirt, Mother Yashoda asked him to open his mouth. And within the little mouth of Krishna, she saw the whole cosmic manifestation. In fact, within the mouth of Krishna, she saw herself looking in the mouth of Krishna. And she practically fainted. Now God by definition is Bhagwan. And one of the opulences of Bhagwan is his opulence of knowledge. It's just 1.5 hours. He spoke 700 verses. And 5,000 years later, the greatest philosophers, the greatest thinkers are yet to fathom the wisdom contained in this shoreless and bottomless ocean of knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest scholars of all time, of all cultures, have praised the wisdom contained within this book of knowledge. He showed how I am not an ordinary person like you, Arjun. Try to understand who I am. In the form of time, I am also devouring everything. And he showed his universal form, the Virata Rupa, which is described in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And throughout in the other descriptions, he describes about the power, the powerful personalities, the devatas, and how his own energies are being manifested by the different personalities in different ways. In his own pastime, Indra, who had become little proud and thinking Krishna to be an ordinary person, had troubled the Brajavasis with thunderstorms and rains for 7 days and 7 nights, creating practically a downpour. But effortlessly Krishna lifted in the left finger, in a little finger of his left hand. Sometimes we say, "Tu mere baaye haath ki choti ungli ka khel hai." He didn't say, he actually showed it. All the power of Indra could not disturb the mountain, the Govardhan mountain that was being lifted by the Lord. And eventually he came and begged forgiveness and said, "You are the real Indra. I am just your insignificant representative." Similarly, Brahma. Brahma, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, was bewildered when he saw this little cowherd boy eating remnants from other cowherd men's boxes, which were jutha. ये कैसा भगवान है जिसको हम बड़े बड़े भोग लगा के पूजा उजा करते हैं और ये तो किसी के मुंह से छीन के खा रहे हैं, ये कैसे भगवान होते हैं? एंड ही वॉन्टेड टू टेस्ट कृष्णा. ही स्टोल अवे ऑल द कैब्स, ही स्टोल अवे ऑल द कवर्ड बॉयज, एंड वन ईयर ब्रह्मा जी डीन कम. एंड व्हेन ही केम बैक आफ्टर वन ईयर, ही सॉ ऑल द कैब्स एंड द कवर्ड बॉयज जस्ट स्टैंडिंग देयर एज इफ नथिंग हैड हैपेंड. All these cows and calves were hidden in some particular place. So Brahma went and saw. They were sleeping there. And all the cowherd boys and the calves were here also. He went there, they were sleeping. He came here, they were there. He was wondering, that is original, this is duplicate. Or this is original, that is duplicate. Or both are original, my head is duplicating. Brahma, the most powerful creator, the first creator of this universe, he was bewildered and confused who this little boy is who's trying to play with me. And right in front of him, all these millions of cowherd boys and calves turned into the four-handed form of Vishnu, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. And then Brahma realized, he is my worshipable Lord. And he actually begged forgiveness and said, "My Lord, people may say, I know you, I know God. But let me tell you, I am beginning to understand that I can never know you. You are inconceivable. Your strength and power are inconceivable." Lord Shiva, this is a very... Shiva's personality is an enigma, a mystery. Shiva is actually the Supreme Lord. But he takes the role Mahadev for a specific purpose in this creation, to run the affairs of the universe. Like a milk turned into curd. He serves as, in one aspect he serves as a devata, and another aspect he is actually considered the supreme himself. Then there is a Vishnu and all the different avatars of the Lord that is there. For the purpose of material creation, Ananta Koti Brahmanda, the Lord expands. Then somebody may ask, what is all this? What is your God doing here? Can you imagine stealing butter? Mother Yashoda had 9 lakh cows. And they would all give quality, first class milk. Why he would go and steal others? But somehow he would go and steal. And then he would be caught red-handed. He would be feeding to the monkeys, all the monkeys would come. And sometimes the gopis would catch him red-handed. And then he would, you know, running away, and he would be chased by these gopis. And they somehow catch. And one day he was caught red-handed. And he said, today we will take you to Mother Yashoda. She never believes. She thinks that her little child is so loving, so simple, that he can never steal. Today I have caught you red-handed. Krishna said, beware, beware. If you want to take me, think twice. And he went. And as soon as she went there and started complaining and tell Yashoda, today I have caught your son red-handed. Yashoda started smiling. She said, are you crazy? What are you speaking, my son? And then she looked. Actually, she was carrying her own son. This gopi was carrying her own son. And then she said, oh, sorry, sorry. And as she was going back, suddenly he transformed into Krishna. And he smiled. And he said, maine bola tha tujhe, mat le ja. Is baar to tera beta bana, agle baar tera pati ban ke aaunga. And next time, he actually was caught red-handed by Yashoda himself. And all the ladies came in. I told you, we told you. And then Mother Yashoda started tying him. And as she was tying, the amazing thing was, she would get rope. When she was about to tie, it was two finger too short to tie a knot. She got a little more rope. And tied, about to tie, it was two finger too short. It was a festival of ropes. She got all the ropes in her home. Still she could not tie. And Krishna was just smiling and looking at, fearfully, actually crying, and said, mommy, please don't tie me. You know, I'm such an innocent person. I'm not a steer. And then ultimately, the gopis said, please, please, Yashoda, don't tie him up. And Yashoda said, what nonsense. You come and complain, and when I try to punish, you say, don't tie him up. Then why do you come and complain? And then the gopis revealed their heart. They said, Mother Yashoda, let us tell you the truth. Actually, the only purpose we make our butter is simply so that Krishna comes and steals. When he steals our butter, he actually steals away our heart. That butter represents the devotion of the gopis. They make for Krishna satisfaction, pleasure, and he accepts it. And therefore, and the gopis said, we just need an excuse to talk about him. That's all. Actually, we make the butter only to serve him. So there are so many wonderful pastimes that the Lord performs and reciprocates. There are 5 ways that the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. One is called Shantaras. Shantaras means he is great and we are small. What can we do? Service. Another is Dasyaras. He is the master and we are the servant. Another is Sakhyaras. Some people accept God as their friend. And some people accept as their son, like Mother Yashoda. And some people accept as their ultimate lover, as Srimati Radharani. In whatever way you accept, as a lover, as a son, like Laddu Gopal, you know, like the Pushti Margis, they have this Laddu Gopal, little Gopal, and they're trying to feed. Some accept as the Lord and Master, some aspect as a friend. In whatever way we reciprocate, he reciprocates that love. So in this way, we conclude our session here. And I will conclude with just one question that we will take up tomorrow. The Vedic scriptures describe that the Lord is all merciful, all loving, all compassionate. If the Lord is genuinely compassionate, really loving, really affectionate, why is there so much suffering in the world? And why isn't God doing something about it? What kind of a God is he who sees the suffering of his children and having Raslila upstairs? Isn't it injustice. The whole city of Rome was burning and King Nero was fiddling. So insensitive. He's a king. The whole city is burning and he was fiddling. And wow, kya tune mil gaya aaj mere ko. Insensitive. Sometimes people think, is God like that? How can he be all compassionate? How can he be all merciful? How can he be all loving? While there is so much suffering going on, bad things happen to good people and vice versa. And God isn't doing something about it. So tomorrow we will be taking up this question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Or vice versa. Why do good people suffer so much? Or sometimes we see people who are breaking all kinds of principles are enjoying themselves. Good health, lot of opulence, and those who are really genuine are suffering. How do we accommodate this? Is God crazy? Is he a sadist? He takes pleasure in seeing others suffering and him enjoying. So this is the question that we'll be addressing tomorrow. And day after tomorrow, we will be discussing the most important part, and that is practical application of spirituality in our day-to-day life. Right as we get out of this place after the sixth session, how do I remain connected? How do I stay in the world but not become of the world? Like a lotus leaf, in the world, very much in the world, but not be untouched by the surroundings and remain aloof. Is there a way? And that is exactly the purpose of the Gita, which we will be discussing on the last day. So we conclude here. I am really sorry I have pushed. Tomorrow it will not be so long. Today it's like in one sense a very sensitive topic. And if I don't do full justice, I thought it is not right. Tomorrow we start at what time? 7:30? 7? What is the timing written there? 7:30. So tomorrow 7:30 to 9:30, and day after tomorrow, which is a Sunday, we will, since also I'm sure Garba people will going, you know, I'm sure many would like to go, we will start sharp at 5. Sharp at 5, and I will end at 7, and 7 to 8 we have full questions. I'm sure any questions today, tomorrow, if you have, and if you don't get in, I'm available after the lecture, I'm available. But we cannot take questions right now because it's a little late. I'm sure there may be many questions. We will do full justice. Most probably what I'm going to speak tomorrow and day after, of your questions will be answered. If not, like we had last Sunday, we'll have almost like 1.5 hours. As long as you want to be here, I'm here. And as long as all your questions are satisfied as far as possible, I will give you assurance that I will not run away. I'll stand here and happily answer all your questions. So we'll conclude here. You can take your dinner now. And tomorrow, sharp at 7:30, why do bad things happen to good people? $1 million question. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.